I said this morning that the message this afternoon would kind of tie in with what I said, the message this afternoon would kind of tie in with what I was preaching on this morning. And it would probably be very simple, very short. It just kind of puts a cap on the thoughts. But I believe that in one verse of Scripture here, we have a major reason why that the things that we're facing as a nation, the perversion and so forth, and the immorality, why that it's running so rampant. And I believe it's because people do not have any idea of what the body is really for. And just one verse of Scripture. This is probably more like a devotion than a sermon tonight, but I believe it's what the Lord has said. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now you realize this, if you've read the book of 1 Corinthians, you realize this, that the church at Corinth, they had problems, some morality problems in the church. And that's addressed in other places in 1 Corinthians, but I'm not going to deal with that. But here's what he says in verse 13. He says this, meats, and meats there, it's not just talking about the meat of an animal, it's talking about food in general. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for who? For the Lord. And the Lord for the body. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Bless this simple few faults that you've given me for this afternoon, Lord. Oh, they're simple, they're short, but if people just realize this, then Lord, it would save them a lot of heartache. It would save our nation a lot of heartache, and you would certainly be honored and glorified. I'm afraid that the philosophy of the world has bled over into the church, bled over into the people that profess to know you as their Savior. And oh God, how we need your word to straighten our thinking out. Everybody say with the preacher, amen. A common cry of people today is something like this: it is my body, and no one has the right to tell me what I can and cannot do with it. It's mine. It's mine. Now, I don't really believe anybody believes that nobody else has a right to tell you what you can do with or without your body. They only use that argument to shore up their indefensible positions, especially that is the case with those advocating abortions. They use this argument to justify the destruction of another person's body that is temporarily residing in the milady and the mother. But it's not actually their body, is it? It's another body. And they say, well, it's in my body. The child's in my body. But the child did not get there voluntarily. It's your decision. At least in the vast, vast majority of cases, it was a deliberate decision that you made, a risk that you run. But they'll use that argument. It's my body, and no one else has the right to tell me what I can and what I cannot do with it. I believe that there are times and circumstances in which practically everyone, maybe everyone, needs someone to intervene and restrain them from doing what they would like to with their bodies. We all have those times in our lives. I was looking back at my own life as I was thinking about this, thinking about, this is my body. Do I have a right to do with it whatever I want to? Because it's mine, does that mean that nobody else has a right to do anything with it, tell me what to do with it? And I look back over my life, and I thought about as a child. As a child, I had a horrible fear of needles. And I've always been thankful that since I've been saved that I had a horrible fear of needles. I'm pretty much over that. But even in my teenage years, I had a horrible fear of needles. And I look back, and though I was ashamed of it as a child and teenager, I'm very thankful for it, because I realized that if I had not had that fear of needles, that I may very well have indulged in intravenous drugs and become a drug addict. And so I'm thankful to God that He created me with that fear of needles. But I had that great fear of needles. And if it had been left up to me, I never would have been vaccinated for polio. Never would have. Now, some of you, many of you, you're old enough to remember back when polio was something to be greatly feared. I can remember seeing children with the braces on their legs and the braces on their arms having to walk with them because they had polio. March of Dimes, I think, was started at the combat polio. And I can remember seeing pictures of the kids in those, what they call them, hyperbaric pressure chambers or something. And iron lungs. And I think, oh my goodness, I do not want to ever get polio and have to walk around like that and or be confined to one of those iron lungs there. But you know what? My fear of needles was so great, I would have run that risk. But thankfully, I had parents that forced me to be vaccinated for polio. Now, that time I was not mature enough to make an educated decision. I was controlled by fear. Thankfully, my parents said, I don't care if it is your body, this is what you're going to do. Now, I want to hasten to say this. I want everybody to understand that I'm not advocating in any sense mandatory vaccines. I'm not doing that. As an adult, based upon some research that I did and some medical advice that I received, I personally refused to get the COVID vaccine. If you got it, that's your business. If you did not, that's your business. But as an adult, I think that I have responsibility to do my research and come to my own conclusion. And though the pressure was put on me to do so, I'm glad I refused. And the more I learn about it, the gladder I am that I'm refused. And I did not refuse because that no one had a right to tell me what to do with my body. I refused because I believe the vaccine was not the healthiest alternative for me. So I want to say, I'm not advocating any sense of the word mandatory vaccines. Now, as a child, another thing, I certainly did not want to go to school. I did not want to go to school. I lived with my grandparents, and the schoolhouse was, you could look across the field in the winter whenever that the ditch banks were up, all the leaves were off and everything, and you could see the school. We walked to school. We lived too close for the bus to pick us up, and didn't have anything to drive we'd wanted to. So we walked to school. And there were others in the neighborhood that would walk to school out in the middle of the country, out in the middle of nowhere. And I can remember there was a couple of little boys. It seemed like about every day that they would take, and there were some woods back behind our house, and you'd see them going down this little old path along the side of the house. They were going back there to cut school. And their parents did not care enough about them to follow up on it and check on their attendance and so forth. And I used to look at those boys, and I'd think, man, I wish I could cut school like that. I wish I could cut school. And then a lot of people back then in those days, they'd drop out of high school. And I'd think, man, it'd be a wonderful thing if you didn't have to go to school. You could just drop out of high school and whatever there. I did not want to go to school. I did not want to take my body to the classroom. But you know what? I'm glad that I had parents and that I had grandparents that would have none of that for me. They said, you're going to do what we tell you. I'm glad of that. And then I thought about it as a teenager. I wanted to stay out all night. And I'm very ashamed of the fact that sometimes I did against my father's will. So I'll regret those things for as long as I live, the heartaches I caused to my dad. However, I'm thankful that my father made it as difficult as he could for me to not stay out all night. He made it as difficult as he could. And sometimes he'd go out hunting me down. And sometimes he would do other things to keep me from going out. And I'm sure that him controlling what I did with my body at those times probably kept me from getting a lot more trouble than it did. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for that. And then as a young man, I started to say young adult, I graduated from high school and 17. And my father, he came to me, he said, now it's your decision. I'm not kicking you out of the house, but I am telling you this, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go by my rules. You're going to go to school for the education and so forth. If you're not going to do that, you're going to have to move out and get out on your own. And one of the things he said I was going to have to do is I was going to have to keep my hair cut. And I said, well, you know, it's my life. Back then you didn't say it's my body. I said it's my life, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. He said, all right, it's your decision. And so at 17 years of age, I left home. I went up to Pennsylvania. I had some connections up there. And I went up to Pennsylvania, and I ended up going to work for a man that I had known since I was a little boy. He used to pick at me as a child, and he'd say, when you turn, you get old enough, I want you to come and go to work for me. And I'm sure he was just humoring me up. And lo and behold, one day I show up at his office door, and I said, you remember me? And he said, no. I told him who I was. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I said, you remember you told me I'd come to work for you? I'm here to go to work. And he's like, what? So anyway, he gave me a job. My hair was getting kind of long by that time. I remember I'd left home, keep from getting my hair cut. So I went to work for him. And I'd been working for him for about a week, and he came out of the job one day, and he said, now, get over here in my car. He had a big old Chrysler Imperial. And he said, get over here in the car. We're going to go for a ride. And I got in the car, and guess where he took me? Took me to a barber shop. He said, I'm going to pay for this, but you're going to get your hair cut. Now, I realize this. I've got myself in a mess. If I don't get my hair cut, that means that I'm not going to have a job, which means I'm not going to have a paycheck, which means that I'm going to probably go homeless and hungry till I find me another job. By the way, he provided an apartment for his employees to live in because we worked on the road during the week, so I thought, I'm going to be homeless and hungry till I find another job. I was just getting started. I didn't know how long it would take to do that. So you know what I did? Cut my hair. Now, after I worked for him for a while, he didn't make me cut my hair because I think I proved to be good enough a worker. He's willing to put up with it. But, I didn't get to do with my body what I wanted to. Left home to do with my body what I wanted to, and almost immediately had to give up that choice. What I'm trying to get you to see is we all need people at times to tell us what we can and what we cannot do with our bodies. Now, over the years, I've talked to a number of people who wanted to take their own lives. And thankfully, most of them have not done so. And in some cases, later on, they've expressed their gratitude to me for preventing them from doing what they had wanted to do with their bodies, because we'd take measures to prevent them from doing it. I've also known a few people over the years, all who have been adults, I'm not talking about children here, but all have been adults, that practice cutting themselves, and in some cases, burning themselves. And naturally, we would take actions in order to prevent them from doing that. And certainly, no one would say that we did not have a right to prevent them from doing that. We would not say, well, it's their body. If they want to cut themselves up, let them do it. If they want to burn themselves with cigarettes and so forth, let them do it. No. We realize these people need help, and so we would intervene. Now, I'm telling you these things to establish the fact that no one in their right mind, if they'll think it through completely, really believes that there are never any times or any circumstances in which they may not need someone to tell them what they are going to do or not do with their body. At points in our lives and under certain circumstances, and it may even be when we're adults because of our mental state and so forth, we need somebody to step in and say, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do, what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. The idea that a person has the absolute right to do whatever he wants with his body at all times, I believe it is foreign to the Word of God. Absolutely foreign to it. Now, it's foreign to the Word of God because it erroneously assumes that a person's body was created for the sole purpose of that person's pleasure, or I could say that person's will, because sometimes it's not very pleasant. But that is the assumption, and it's a wrong assumption, that a person's body is created for the sole purpose of them just doing whatever they want to, indulging in their own pleasure. Now that brings us here to what I want us to see in the text here, in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 13. Here the Bible says this. It uses an illustration. It says this. Meats, and remember I said meats. It's not talking about simply, not only animal meat, but it's talking about food in general. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. Now, this is an illustration to get a point across that the Lord's getting ready to make here. If we did not need to eat food, we would not need a belly, would we? If we didn't need to eat food, we would not need a belly. But since we need to eat food in order to nourish our bodies, you know what? God created us with a belly. And so we take and we consume that food which is necessary to nourish our body, and it goes down in the belly, the food's the meat's for the belly, and that way it disperses the energy and so forth through our body there. And on the flip side, if we had a belly but no need to eat food, I'm talking about on a permanent basis. I know many of us have got a belly and we could do without eating food for a while. Amen. But if we had a belly but no need to eat food at all, our belly would be absolutely useless. It'd be like a gas tank in an electric car. It just wouldn't make any sense. It would be absolutely useless. Now, the Lord is using this as an illustration. Meat's for the belly, and the belly is for the meats. He's using this as an illustration so that we can apply the illustration to our bodies. And he says this. He says, look at there again at the verse. He says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. That's talking about the eternal state. And then he says, now the body, it is not for what? It is not for fornication. It's not for fornication. Now, this is where our society has gone nuts, right here. They assume that even children, young children, they assume this, that the body is for fornication, and that therefore you cannot expect people to control their desires. You cannot do that. You cannot restrain those. You cannot do anything to discourage it. You might as well just throw the towel in, because they assume the body is made basically to be immoral, and so just let people go. That is the assumption. That is the assumption of this day and age. Now, I saw it coming along in the late 60s, and I saw it more so in the 70s. I would see parents, and I was not even saved during part of this time, and I would see parents. They would say, well, you know, a young lady could want birth control, and if the parents would sign for it, they could get it. And in some cases, they could just forge it. I knew that happened sometimes there. But they just said, I've heard old parents that say, well, you know something? There's no stopping it. I mean, these young people, you know, that's just human nature. It's like you're animals. After all, you've been taught you're nothing but an advanced animal form. And so they can't control it there. And so we might as well just try to stop the consequences, the undesirable consequences of it. That was the attitude there. The idea was that the body was made for fornication. That is not true. And you are not an animal. You are not a beast that cannot control your passions. You do have a responsibility to control those passions, and you can do that. And your body was not made to just get out there and be involved in sexual practices. That is not what your body is for. The Bible tells us here that what? Our body is for the Lord. Just like meat is for the belly, our body is for the Lord. Otherwise, our bodies are to be given to the Lord to be consumed by the Lord, as meat is given to and consumed by the belly. That's what our bodies are for. They're for the Lord. We are to take and give our bodies to the Lord. So here they are. You take our body and you do with it whatever you want to. Now, that's foreign to the thoughts of most people today, is it not? Yes, this is what my body was created for. So I'm presenting it to you, and you do with it what you want to. And then the flip side is also true. The Lord is for our body as our belly is for the meat. Otherwise, as our belly consumes our meat to build and strengthen and maintain our physical body, our Lord consumes our bodies, and I believe He uses it to build and strengthen and maintain His body, which is what in the New Testament? It's the church, His body, the church. That's the idea. This body that God's given me, it's created for the Lord. I'm just like the meat is for the belly. I am to present myself to Him. Lord, take and you consume me. And the Lord is also for my body. My body needs the Lord. We think about the Lord as good for our spiritual health, but I want to tell you something. The Lord is necessary to our physical well-being as well. He is necessary and essential to a good, healthy body as well. That's the idea there. We are to be consumed by the Lord and consumed with the Lord. I often pray something like this. I don't pray it every day, but oftentimes I'll pray like something like this. I'll say, Oh God, I know you tell me this, that the most important commandment is what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, which would have to do with your body. I know that's it, Lord. I'm basically to love you with all of my being. All of my being. God, I know this. And that's how I talk to the Lord tonight. I say, Lord, I know this, that it's impossible to love you as much as you're worthy. If we put all the love for God together that's ever existed throughout the history of mankind, it would still be insufficient. It would still not be what He's worthy of. But I also know this, that there's no way in the world I can love the Lord as much as He's worthy. But Lord, even though I know I can't love you as much as you're worthy, I know this, that I can love you more than I do. And I'm asking you, God, please. I believe that God's created man with a free will. But I believe God will influence that free will. I don't think God overrides it in most cases. I don't think He does that. But I'll pray and I'll say, oh God, please. I know I have to love you with all of my being. Please, dear God, influence my will that I would love you more. I'm asking you, I'm exercising my will to ask you to influence my will that I would love you more than I do. Oh God, please do that. And then I'll just say something like this, Lord, I want to love you so much that I am consumed with you and that I am consumed by you. What am I saying? I want to be consumed with the Lord. I want Him to dominate my thinking. I want Him to determine every decision that I ever make. I want to be consumed with the Lord, but I want to be consumed by the Lord as well. I want Him to take and just control me completely. I want Him to control me. Oh God, please do that. Please do that. That is a prayer of mine. Now, what does that boil back down to? It gets back to this, what I'm saying right here. That our body is for the Lord, and our Lord is for the body. We are to be consumed with the Lord, and we are to be consumed by the Lord Now, what happens if we take and we use our belly solely or even partially for the gratification of the flesh instead of the nourishment of the body? What happens there? Well, one thing will happen is this. We'll probably fill our bellies with unwholesome and unnecessary things that harm us instead of help us. Am I right? And I understand there's a big problem with that now because so many kids were shut in during the COVID virus and they got, you know, lived off of junk food because of parents that wouldn't prepare meals and so forth. And now that's become a way of life for them. And it's causing a crisis, a real problem of health and obesity and so forth in there. And that's what happens if I just say, you know something, I'm going to just take and use my belly solely or even partially just for the gratification of my old flesh. I'm going to fill it with things that are unwholesome and things that are unnecessary and things that are going to do me harm. In fact, I could poison myself. I could poison myself. That's certainly. No, my belly's not made for poison. Amen? And alcohol is poison, by the way. Amen? I'm not made for that. And then, what happens if we use our body solely or even partially for the glorification of our physical desires instead of for the Lord's will and glory? Well, when we do that, we engage in unwholesome and unholy things, things that will harm us physically. And there's no doubt about that. Fornication, understand, that is a word that basically it's an umbrella word in which it covers all kinds of unbiblical sex. If I use my body for those things, then it's going to affect me physically. I'm risking getting diseases and all kinds of things. If young people just realize this, if they would just realize this, it's been a few years ago, I read that 25% of young people up to the age, it was up in their 20s, I believe it was, one in every four has some kind of STD, a sexually transmitted disease. It affects you physically. It affects you mentally as well. It scars your mind. It messes up your mind. And most importantly, it affects you spiritually. It hinders your relationship and your fellowship with God. It hinders it. No, the body is not made for fornication. My body is what? It is made for the Lord. My body's for the Lord. It's not for me. It's for the Lord. And the Lord is for my body. Now, is it against the Lord's will for a man or a woman to take food into their bodies that is tasty and enjoyable? Remember, he's using the illustration that we can apply to this matter, the illustration of the meat for the belly and the belly for meat. Is it against the Lord's will for a man or a woman to take food in their belly that is tasty and enjoyable? No, it's not. God has been so good, has He not? He could say, you know something, you need food, and some of them, I'm creating you with a belly so that you can take that food in by which it will nourish your body. I'm going to do that, but I'm going to tell you what. All the food that I'm going to provide is going to be stuff that is bitter. Now, I was trying to think of something that I could use as an illustration. I mean, what, something that's real bitter. Something that you're not going to get any pleasure in, but you're going to have to do it or you're going to starve to death. No, the Lord in His grace, He did not do that. He says, you know something? You need that food for your body, so I'm going to make create you with a belly. But the wonderful thing is I'm going to give you all kinds of food out there. There's a variety, and it's wonderful. There's some of it is so delicious. Not all of it, but some of it is just so very delicious. And so, you know what? I can take and I can feed my belly. I can feed my belly with the food, but I can do so and enjoy some things that are very tasty and very delicious. Sometimes they aren't. Sometimes I have to take some medicines or something that are not. But the Lord wants me to enjoy those things. Isn't that a wonderful thing, how good and gracious God is? I sit down in the mornings and to eat. And the last week or so, I kind of get on different kicks about different things. And I kind of back on the banana kick in the morning. All right? Now, I like almonds. I eat almonds with about everything. Okay? So for a while, I was on these protein shakes. And it would be 12 almonds and a protein shake. Now I'm on a banana and 12 almonds, okay? And but also, I've had some peaches that are given to me. And so I'll eat a banana and a peach and a dozen almonds in the morning. I love those things. And I look at those things, and the morning I put it out there on a saucer. My wife, one morning she said to me, she saw me getting my peach and my banana, peeling it out and putting my almonds on there, and I got a fork. And she said, "You are strange. Who eats a banana with a fork?" And I said, "Well, I know it sounds insane, but there's a reason for it. Because when I'm eating my banana and my peach, I'm also reading my Bible. And I don't like to get banana on my fingers and turn the page of my Bible, you see. So there is a reason for it." Amen, for my insanity there. So I sit down there with my peach and my banana and my almonds, and I'll be cutting off a piece and reading and so forth there. But when I go to ask the blessing on that, here's what I often do when I ask the blessing. I'll look at what I'm eating, and I'll say, "Lord, these are rather simple things. A banana, some almonds. But Lord, they're delicious. I want to thank You, God, that You created me with a desire, with being able to enjoy these simple things. Thank You so much for that. Please, God, never let my taste get so sophisticated or exotic or whatever you want to say that I cannot enjoy these little simple things in life. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for that." Amen. And then I can look back and see there were times when I couldn't afford an almond. Amen. And I thank God that I can do it. And then in this case, like the peaches were given to me, I say, "And bless so-and-so that gave me these peaches, dear God. Bless them today." Amen. Thank You, Lord. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. The Lord wants me to enjoy that food. I need that food. But God has given me foods that I can enjoy. Foods that are good for me there. Now, the flip side is this. Applying the illustration to the bodies for the Lord and Lord's for the body. Is it against the Lord's will for a man or woman to indulge in things that are pleasurable to the body? No. Not with, as long as they're within the boundaries that God's established for us. But our indulging in those pleasures, they are to be limited to the boundaries that He has established. There's foods I should not eat. And there's things that I do with my body that are very pleasurable that are in the perfect will of God. But there's also things that I can do in my body that are outside of the boundaries of God, and therefore I should not do those things. My body's for the Lord. The Lord's for my bodies. Now, our bodies are not for what? Fornication. They're not for fornication. They're for the Lord. And we must never forget that simple truth, because that is what the world has been sold on. Your body is for fornication. There's no stopping you. There's no restraint. There's no responsibility for it. And they've convinced our society of that. And they have gone crazy. And they are becoming more and more and more depraved. Now, I want to close by just reading two passages of Scripture, both of them found in the book of Romans. First one's in Romans chapter 6. Keeping in mind, we're talking about the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. All right? My body, physically, I need the Lord. And the Lord, in His wonderful grace, needs me. There's something about it that He needs. That staggers my imagination. But look at Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 12 and 13. Let not sin, that is that old sin nature, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, my old sin nature, that old Adamic nature, it wants to take control of my body. And the Bible says, don't let that happen. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments. Your members, what is that? It's talking about the limbs of your body, the organs of your body and so forth. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? Unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Why? That's what God's created my body for. I'm going to present it to Him. I'm going to yield it to Him. Lord, take me and use me for whatever you want to do. Take me and use me for whatever you want to do. Years ago, I heard an older preacher, and he was preaching to me and some other younger preachers, and I won't ever forget something that he said. He said, now, young preachers, young men, he said, here's what you need to do sometimes. You need to do it on a fairly regular basis. He said, sometimes you just need to get along with God, and you need to just go over your whole body and give it to God. He said, you just need to. He said, because what's going to happen is you'll do it subconsciously. You just kind of take things back from God. He said, but here's what you need to do. He said, you ought to come before God and say, God, these eyes you blessed me with, you created these eyes for you. Dear God, I yield them to you afresh and anew. I yield these eyes to you. Take these eyes, God, and use them to look at things that you want to see. God, turn these eyes away from things that you would not have me look at. Lord, these ears, this gift of hearing, please take these ears and, God, use them as your own. I yield them to you. Use these ears to listen only to what you would listen to. And, oh God, turn these ears away from anything that you do not want me to listen to that would not be pleasing to you. And Lord, these lips and this tongue, oh God, take this gift of speech you've given me and you use it to say what you want said. And oh God, please don't let me say anything that you would not have me say. I'm yielding my tongue and my lips to you. And he said, go through your whole body. Yield your hands to God. Yield your feet to God. Your legs to God. Yield everything about yourself to God. I'm going to tell you what, that's something that's a good thing to do once in a while. Just yield it all to God. And I'll promise you this, if you get serious about that, you will be surprised what the Spirit of God will expose to you. How expose to you that you are not yielded to God in certain things. You will be surprised. No, this is what we should do. And the Bible is telling us that in Romans chapter 6. Now, one other passage of Scripture, and this one is probably better known to most of us here. Probably have got it memorized. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Get this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That's something. Beseech. I'm begging you, brethren. Okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your what? Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says this is by the mercy of God. God really doesn't need us, but God in His mercy will take us and use us. And He said, this is your reasonable service. Somebody says, well, that doesn't sound very reasonable. Just present your body as a living sacrifice to God. He can take and do with it whatever He wants to. He wants to send it to a mission field, fine. Huh? That doesn't seem reasonable. Wait a minute. Did He not die on the cross of Calvary for you? To me, that seems unreasonable. How can I do anything unreasonable and offer myself to God? And so He says, you take and you give it to your body, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. You present it to Him. It's like a blank check. I don't say, God, tell me what you would do with my body if I present it to you. You just say, Lord, here it is. You take and do with it what you want to. I trust you. Like I said, it's like, you know, signing, imagine your life as a check, and you just sign it and give it to God and say, you fill it in. You fill it in. That's the way we're supposed to do. And then He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, that's it. Presenting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price. Amen? Therefore, we to glorify God in our body and in our spirits as well, but in our body. This is the truth. What is your body made for? What is it for? It's for God. It's for the Lord. That's it. That's it. Just as sure as meat, food is made for my belly, my body is made for the Lord. And if I use it for anything else, I'm misusing it. And I'm really doing myself, I'm shortchanging the Lord and shortchanging myself. Let's give ourselves to God. Amen? Don't get caught up in all this mess. No, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. It makes no sense to the world, but I tell you what, it's the best life this side of heaven. Let's stand.